This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights.
Music taste is a tricky thing, and how we perceive music genres and ourselves obviously has a huge influence on what we're willing to listen to. But Marco Susino has gone a step further. He's researching how we react to music before we've even heard it. And you might think, well, how do I know if I like something or don't like something until I hear the first few bars? Well, apparently it has a lot to do with the prejudices we bring to music even before the notes start. A study he co-authored is one of the first to systematically demonstrate people's emotional reactions to music without playing any music. Marco, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Mark. Good to be here.
Now, let's put this in perspective for your own music listening habits. What kind of genres do you like to listen to?
Oh, I wish I could tell you, even like on two hands, wouldn't be enough. I think I need about 10 hands to tell you how many genres. I listen to absolutely everything from Bach and Beethoven to Jimi Hendrix and Daft Punk.
Do you have any genres? You know, there's a lot of people who might say, oh, look, I like all music except heavy metal, or I like all music except country and rap or something like that. Do you have any genres like that that you think, oh, I just never really got into them?
I think I have certain genres which I prefer than others, but I wouldn't say there's anything which I didn't have, which I absolutely wouldn't give a go. For me, music is just so powerful and it can just trigger so many emotions in us, which doesn't really matter for me which genre it is. So I definitely don't have a genre specific which I would say, no, this is one thing which I definitely don't listen to. So I'm very open to anything.
Why do you think music can trigger such emotions in the listeners?
Well, that's
it's a huge question. It's probably, if someone could answer that definitively, you'd be out of a job.
Exactly. But the thing is, there's so many reasons why music can elicit an emotion in a listener, starting from it can trigger memory, of course, which can be associated with a particular event, which triggered perhaps an emotion. Say, for example, like a wedding, you know, and perhaps you were happy, or even a sad emotion like music associated to a funeral. But there's also many other ways that music can trigger an emotion. The thing is, it's very, very complex. And this is where we're starting to understand where it's not an easy understanding of how music can trigger an emotion. It's quite complex, actually. But what we're starting to see is that actually can trigger it just from your own preconceived ideas of what the music should actually be experiencing, what you should experience from music yourself.
So take us through a little bit of the methodology for how you approach this study, which is, once again, about how people respond to music before they've even heard the music. How is the study conducted?
Yes, so what we know so far is that the theories that we have every time where music elicits emotions is related to the music itself. So we start to thinking that based on the musical features, let's say tempo or rhythm or the melody or otherwise the lyrics, that's generally how we usually have a perception of an emotion or how we actually feel an emotion. But with this study in particular, what we have done is that we wanted to find out if people could have preconceived ideas of how they should feel from listening to a particular genre of music. So what we've done, we had a set of lyrics. We had 8 different genres, which were very diverse, from Japanese gakkaku music to heavy metal to pop and hip-hop and Western art, opera. And what we did is we had these lyrics and we presented them to people and we asked them to read the lyrics and we asked them what sentiment came to mind when they read the lyrics. Now, the trick was that for some listeners, we told them that these lyrics were taken from the actual genre where they were taken because they were real songs, say, for example, from heavy metal. But with some other listeners, some other people, we actually told them that it was from a complete different genre. It wasn't true. It was a lure.
Right. So you'd give them some heavy metal lyrics and you'd say, this is from pop or this is from Japanese gakkaku or something like that.
Exactly that. With some others, we actually told them nothing at all. We just said, this is just a set of lyrics, what comes to mind. And then obviously we compared all the responses between the 3 different conditions. So the one with the original genre, the one where there was the trick genre, the lure genre, and the no genre. And what we have found is that people preconceived ideas of what actually one genre should sound like change the way they associated their emotions with that particular set of lyrics, which what it suggests is that it does not necessarily relate to any musical features, because obviously there was no music played at all, and not even the lyrics, or so the sentiment of the lyrics, because they were identical. But it's just on a preconceived idea of what that genre will have an effect, how you should feel when listening to that genre, even if it's completely different from what actually the music is saying.
So from your findings, were there particular genres that people, you know, they had negative or unemotional reactions to the lyrics frequently with that genre?
Yes, there were. In particular, there were two which we could say they could be associated with what's likely generally considered as more negative emotions, and these were heavy metal and hip-hop.
Really?
When people were listening to those music, reading the lyrics from these music, people were associating them with anger in particular, and also with aggression and rebellious emotions. Of interest, though, there also was the exact opposite. When people were listening to the same lyrics, which were taken from a heavy metal song, actually, but were told that it was Japanese, they associated with much more gentler emotions, such as calm and spiritual.
Right, so the same words that in heavy metal music would have been set to, you know, a heavy drum beat and guitars, but when people imagine those same lyrics as though they were going to be sung by a Japanese gagako singer, even though they weren't actually listening to the music, they assumed those lyrics had a completely different emotional resonance.
That's right. And what we think is because people might hold a stereotype of a particular culture, in this case, Japanese culture or the Zen Buddhism with Japanese associations, as being calm or as being spiritual, for instance, which then extends to the perception of the music that they're listening to, even though the composer or the musicians might be conveying a completely different message, a completely different emotional message.
What do you think this says about the way we listen to music in terms of the industry? Because artists who produce music, you know, there's so many people like Madonna or Prince or Bob Dylan or someone like that who prided themselves throughout their career in changing genre and constantly changing and reinventing their style. But does that mean that people will always bring these prejudices to listening to their music before they've heard it, even when they are changing it up?
No, I don't think that would be the case, because just as the way that a prejudice can be formed, it can also be disentangled as well and changing as well. So the more familiarity and fandom you start having with a particular genre of music, it is likely that you start becoming more of an expert, let's say, with that particular music or particular artist. So you start understanding a little bit more of what the music actually is trying to say, rather than having your preconceived ideas imposing of what you think that music should say.
What is the goal of the research then? And what do you think it teaches us about how we approach our listening to music?
The goal, I think, would be that it's starting a completely new line of research, because so far all the theories that we have done, all the studies that we have done in music psychology and music cognition, has been related to actual listening to music itself. But if we start just to see, like we are doing now, that the preconceived idea of what a particular genre can actually trigger in a listener affect how that listener might listen, you know, might feel. In that case, that has an effect which can trigger completely different emotions than what, for instance, some music therapists, when music, a particular music for therapy, might use. So let's say if we have a piece of music that we think will elicit a happy or a more positive emotion in the listener, and we actually find out that this listener has a completely different preconceived idea of what that particular genre would feel, that has implications of how we start using music. And apart from that, it has also possibly implications of how we can start using music to, let's say, dismantle these barriers of stereotyping.
And how do you think cultural and religious backgrounds feed into this stereotyping? Were you able to make any conclusions on the way people had been brought up and therefore the biases they brought to their listening?
Yes, well, so in the study, this was a cross-cultural study. So we actually had participants from Cuba and participants from Australia. And what we have seen is that we noted differences between the two participant groups, the cultural differences. So there were biases in terms of what their stereotypes were. So for instance, Cubans associated hip hop with violence and some sadness, while Australians were more frequently associating it with sadness and betrayal and also longing. So there's clearly cultural differences there. And this would obviously imply even in terms of religious groups or religious differences or faith as well. I think what it says is just do not, let's say, judge a book by its cover. In this case, do not, you know, judge a piece of music by its label. I think that's pretty much what it's saying, because it is clearly not that. We have these preconceived ideas of what it should sound like. But in reality, we know when we did an analysis of the sentiment analysis of the lyrics, we found that the lyrics that we actually gave to the listeners had nothing to do with longing or betrayal or anything like that. I think it's having a little bit of an open mind and trying to break these stereotype barriers that we have about certain cultures and the music associated with these cultures as well.
Yeah, so you think, you know, this knowledge could help to break down not just stereotypes we have about music, but actually cultural stereotypes we hold as well?
I think so. I think music has the power definitely to possibly break these cultural stereotypes. Absolutely.
And did you find that in doing the study, it gave you a different appreciation for other genres of music that, although you may have liked them, weren't part of your regular listening?
Yes, indeed. And to be honest with you, like we conducted a study last year where we had actually worked a lot with hip hop and heavy metal. And we found, this was in Australia, and we found that it was exactly the same. Listeners which listen to the music every time seem to have associated these negative emotions with hip hop and heavy metal. So what that actually started happening, I listened to a lot of hip hop myself, but I started listening to a little bit more of heavy metal just because I was interested to find out actually what it is about. So it gave me a little bit more of myself, you know, an openness to start listening to more heavy metal music.
And even though I'm not a big heavy metal fan, maybe I should approach the genre in a different way and think about my prejudices.
I'm glad about that.
All right. Thank you very much. My guest has been Marco Cicino. He's a multi-award-winning and multicultural artist and music psychologist, and he works with Assemblage, the Centre for Creative Arts at Flinders University, and he's a visiting artist from the Juilliard School in New York. Marco, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Mark.
And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. Thanks for listening.